Well, good morning. It's great to be with you today again in this beautiful place. Last time I was here, I was in the old place, and this was just plywood. So to see this place, what God has done, is just amazing. It reminds me of that verse he says in the Bible where he will make all things new. And it's just awesome to see what God has done. I mean, I remember, maybe some of you new people don't remember this, but a lot of you have been around a while. The old place way down the street, remember? God has done great things. Well, for those of you that don't know me, I'm Chaplain Dan. I'm a missionary at the jail in Plymouth. I don't get paid by the government. I raise my own support and funds, and your church has been supporting me for a number of years. I've seen a lot of people come to know the Lord there. It's a great place to be fishing if you're a fisher of men. There's always the fish are always biting. There's plenty of sinners, and we have the bait, and we have the hope and the answer. His name is Jesus. But we are going to talk about the Holy Spirit today, and so I wanted to share something about what the Holy Spirit does not do. It was a little poem I heard recently from a minister on the radio. It goes like this. He wasn't much for stirring about. It wasn't his desire. No matter what the others did, he was sitting by the fire. Same old story day by day. He never seemed to tire. While others worked to build the church, he was sitting by the fire. At last he died as all must do. Some say he went up higher. But if he's doing what he used to do, he's sitting by the fire. Faith without works is dead. Can I get an amen? And we have the good news. And as Paul said, woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. We have to share the gospel. We need the Holy Spirit to do this. So the Spirit, let's start with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Let's start with the Spirit. There are many types of spirits in the Bible. There are evil spirits, unclean spirits, demonic spirits, all one and the same, fallen angels. Of course, they follow their leader, Lucifer, who was also a fallen angel, who became the devil or Satan as we know him. That's one type of spirit. There are other spirits, the holy angels. The Hebrews 1:14 says about the angels that God created, are they not ministering spirits? They serve God and us. They do a lot of things behind the scenes. I have to remind you, our battle is not against flesh and blood. You know, it's against a lot of things that are happening out of sight, and we need to be in tune with that and be aware of that and be in the Word and know what it's all about. God is spirit. Jesus said God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Man has spirit. There are two thoughts on this. There's the trichotomy and the dichotomy. Trichotomy is man is made up of a body, a soul, and a spirit. That's what I would believe. It's what the scriptures say. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says that we pray that God would preserve your body, soul, and spirit. Romans 8:16 says that the Spirit of God testifies with our spirit that we are the children of God. So we have a spirit also. Contrary to some that don't believe that, there's the dichotomy that only believe that man is a body and the kind of soul and spirit squished together, they're kind of like one, just kind of soul. But anyway, nothing to sleep over. But the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is what we want to talk about today. The third member of the triune God. He is holy. The Greek word hagios, its primary meaning means pure. And he is the pure spirit of God. These spirits, by the way, especially the Holy Spirit, very powerful. The angel of death is sent in 2 Kings by God against the Assyrian army. And one spirit. 185,000 dead. When the Spirit of God came upon Samson with just the jawbone of a donkey, 6,000, I think it was, dead. I mean, one spirit. They're very powerful. And the Holy Spirit is the one whom God gives to the believers. What does he do? Well, he first convicts the world of sin. And on this note, if you really, we're not going to cover everything in 30 minutes, but if you really want to get to know the Spirit of God, Jesus describes it really good in chapters in John, chapters 14, 15, 16. Those three chapters really touch a lot on, about the Spirit of God who dwells and lives in the believer. And again, he is this third person of the Trinity. He is the triune God. In Acts chapter 5, there's a story, and I'll quickly read through it. Acts chapter 5, verse 1, a man named Ananias with his wife Sapphira sold a piece of property, and with his wife's knowledge, he kept back for himself some of the proceeds and brought only a part of it and laid it at the apostles' feet. They were telling him it was the whole thing, but it really wasn't, so they were kind of lying. But anyway, Peter said to Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not at your disposal? Why is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to man, but to God. And the story kind of ends with him and his wife dying and being carried out. You know, some people say, boy, that sounds kind of harsh. You know, others say, why doesn't it happen more often? You know, again, when we're talking about the Holy Spirit, we got to remember, and when we're talking about God, he is holy and he is pure, and we need to come to him on his terms. You remember in Leviticus, what was his name? Well, he had two sons, and they were offered strange fire. Remember Leviticus chapter 10? And God took them right out, just like that, because he said, I will be regarded by you as holy. You will come to me and treat me as holy. And the Spirit of God is holy. Again, what does he do? He convicts the world of sin. I think many of you know, and for those of you that don't, they don't give you a Bible in school. But I got mine in jail in 1985, and I read this beat-up old King Jimmy in a roach-infested jail cell at the age of 28. And God opened my eyes. The Spirit of God convicted me of my sin. When I read the commandments, I realized, yikes, I've busted all these. And when I read that these would be cast into outer darkness, there shall be weeping, gnashing of teeth, I'm thinking, yeah, you're talking about hell. You know, I'm in big trouble here. So I went to the chapel, and listened to the message, and when it was over, I was kind of the last to leave, and I told the chaplain, I said, listen, I'm in trouble here. He said, what's the matter? I said, I've been reading this book, and I've been doing a lot of sin. It says they're going to be cast into outer darkness, weeping, gnashing of teeth. I said, are we talking about hell? He said, yes, we are. You need to be saved. And when he said that, the officer was bringing the inmates back, one of the officers looked at me and motioned with his head like, come on, kid, move. And the chap said, wait a minute. Do you believe Jesus died for your sins? I said, yeah, I believe this. I believe what it says, but chaplain, I got a lot of sins. I'm 28. I've been doing this stuff all my life. He said, Jesus Christ died once and for all for the sins of the world. And he said, when you go back to your cell, you get on your knees. And you say, God, I know I've sinned against you. But I believe Jesus died on that cross for my sins. I believe he was buried, he rose again, and I want you to come into my life. And I went back to my cell, I did that, and I tell you, God began to open my eyes. This is what Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a man is born of water and the Spirit of God, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Without the Spirit of God, you cannot see nor enter the kingdom of God. And that's what he did. He spoke to me through his word. When I saw Jesus as he's portrayed in Scripture, I saw perfection. And when I saw perfection, I saw myself, and I saw how far short I had missed the mark, and that I needed a Savior. And the Spirit of God led me in the scriptures to the cross, where Jesus took my beating, shed his blood, died once for the sins of many, that whosoever believing in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. So, the text, we're going to John chapter 14. Let's go there. And I'm just going to pull out a few verses about what he does, again, how important he is. It says in John 14, verse 17, well, I'll pick it up in 15 for context. It says, if you love me, Jesus said, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you, and he will be in you. Again, there's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. One God, but the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. To explain this without the Holy Spirit is almost impossible. The closest I've come, or the best analogy I've come up with that I've heard is water. Water can be fluid. We can put it in a freezer and it can become ice or solid. We can also boil it and it can turn to steam. But if you hold a cover over it, as soon as the steam hits that, it'll turn right back to water, drop down again. So this water can be fluid, solid, steam, vapor, but it is one in essence. It is all H2O. And it is the same with God. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one in essence. They are the one true and living God. And this Holy Spirit God gives to those who believe. God lives in the believer. Amen. He empowers us to understand the scriptures. Because I might say also, a lot of cults use this Bible, you know. There are not a few cults out there. When I was in college back in the early 90s, there were over 6,000 cults. I'm sure they've doubled since then. And a lot of them use the Bible. But without the Holy Spirit, they go off on a tangent. They kind of cut and paste, chew this verse, that verse, this verse, and they have their little doctrine and go off and teach it. And you can do anything you want like that. You can make up your own religion, but it's not right. We need the Holy Spirit. We need God. We need God a lot more than we think. So what does he do? God gives us to him, gives him to us, rather, and he indwells us. Notice verse 26, Jesus says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Have you ever been talking to a person or observing a scenario or situation and a verse of scripture pops in your mind? That ever happened to you? Happens to me all the time. It's the Holy Spirit. He brings to remembrance all that Jesus taught us. You know, I'll be honest with you. When I got my Bible in jail, I asked an inmate for one. Again, it was an old beat-up New Testament. It was a King Jimmy paperback, and it was all beat up. But I read it over and over four or five times, and it was just amazing. I mean, I was just so hungry for the truth, for a meaning to life, a reason to live, a purpose and a hope. There was none in this world without the God. And so as I was reading it, I was just, you know, absorbing this. And when I went to the chapel, I noticed they had, it was a little, like a little church, you know, little ceiling and the pews. And in the back of the pews were these Bibles, the whole Bible. It was the old Gideon Bibles they got out of the hotels. They were all, you know, mocked up. They used to give them to us. So I noticed, I said, well, you know, Matthew's the same, John's the same, but what are these other ones? So I asked the pastor, he said, oh, that's the Old Testament. And I said, is that part of the Bible? He said, yeah, that's part of the Bible. Well, can I take it? He said, you going to read it? Yeah. So I go back to my cell and I start reading about Genesis. And I come to the part in chapter 22, where Abraham is offering his son Isaac. And you know the story. Isaac and Abraham leave the men behind. They take the fire and the wood, and they're on their way to go worship on the mountain. And Isaac finally asks his dad, "Hey, Dad, we got the fire, we got the wood, but where's the lamb?" You know. And in verse 8 in the King James Version, it says that Abraham tells his son that God will provide himself a lamb for the offering. And when I read that, I almost fell off my chair, because the Holy Spirit brought to remembrance what I had read in the New Testament, John 1:29. Behold, John the Baptist said, the Lamb of God, who takes away what? The sins of the world. Amen. And so I'm thinking, this the Lamb of God. And so I thought I was the only one in the world that knew this. And I couldn't wait to tell the pastor, hey, you got to read this, you know. So when he came in, I couldn't wait. You got to read this. Look at this thing. He's talking about Jesus, right? But that's what the Spirit of God does. He brings to remembrance all that Jesus taught us. And then in chapter 15, verse 26, he says, but when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. You know, I don't know about you, but when I first came to Christ, I could not stop talking about Jesus. I could not stop talking. I was just so in love with him. I still am. I still talk about him all the time. Because there is no one more worthy than Christ. I mean, he is what it's all about. And I remember, when I came to faith in jail, my mom would come to visit me. You could only come twice a week. She came twice a week. And we didn't grow up in church and anything, we didn't go to church. And so when I was talking to my mom about Jesus and telling her how we've all sinned, we need a Savior, she didn't want to have nothing of that. She was like, I am not a sinner. I mean, I've never murdered anybody, and I've never raped nobody, so I am not a sinner. You know, to be a sinner, you got to do something really bad, she was thinking. And I'm like, no, Ma, it's just, anything, lie, anything short of perfection is sin. But she wasn't buying it, and she was so angry, and I could not stop talking about Jesus. I mean, I was so overjoyed, bubbling, the overcome. And I remember at one point she said, stop preaching to me. She was really angry, and I never saw my mom like that. And I tried to cool it, but, it just kept coming out. And over time, my mom started coming to church with me after I got ordained and heard me preaching and everything, and she came to faith and she believed. But for a long time, she had a really hard time putting up with me, because it's tough to teach an old dog new tricks. And I was the black sheep of the family. And so his was my mom, goody two-shoe, and I'm telling her about God, So anyway, the power of God, that's what the Spirit of God does. He empowers us. And in chapter 16, verse 13 and 14, Jesus also says that the Helper, or when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me. For he will take what is mine and declare it to you. According to Jesus, the Spirit of God will guide us into all truth. And I have seen that. When I left the Plymouth County Jail back in December of 85. I was going to wrap up my bid in this new facility in Jamaica Plain. And it was a minimum, and it was work release and so forth. So I got over there, and I noticed right away there was not a Protestant chaplain. And so I was, telling them, hey, we need a Protestant chaplain, And there is a religious freedom, and institutions need to observe this and provide services. So we got this man, and I'll never forget, he was a Jewish guy named Henry, and he was of the Pentecostal denomination, United Pentecostalist, I might add, because they believe that you must speak in tongues and be baptized in water to be saved. And so he was sharing the scriptures and teaching me these things and pulling these verses out, like I say, you know, they cut and paste, take out this verse, just read this verse, just read that verse, just read this verse. And that's how they formed their theologies and so forth. And so at the end he said, so, you know, you see that you got to be baptized. The problem was you couldn't be baptized there in the jail. There was no baptismal. And so I began to ask myself, well, what if this place was to burn down tonight? I mean, God forbid, but if the place burned down tonight and I was not baptized, would I go to heaven? He said, and I'm like, you got to be kidding me, pal. I mean, I'm telling you, man, when I put my faith in Jesus, he took away the cigarettes, the marijuana, the cocaine. I mean, he changed my whole life. I don't punch nobody out anymore. He changed my whole life. I'm a different person. And you're telling me because I'm not being able to get baptized, I'll burn in hell. Was the Bible, you know, you got to be, you know, he's pulling out these one verses here and there. And so, but what does the Spirit of God do? He guides you into all truth. And so I would write the chaplain at the old jail and said, hey, what about this guy? He's teaching this and that. And he said, and he gave me some verses and I'd look it up. And what happened was I ended up, you know, really getting into the Word and studying everything it says about this. And I got to know the Bible really good. We should all be like that. You know, because the Spirit will guide us into all truth. Remember, the truth will set you free. There are a lot of people locked up in a lot of cults out there. You know, I know some people that were in some Seventh-day Adventist churches that, the real, real far-right ones, where if you're not worshiping on Saturday, you will go to hell. And God forbid if you brush your teeth by accident, you best be on your knees praying and asking forgiveness to God on Saturday because that was work you just did. I mean, there's some really bad stuff out there. And if you're being led by the Spirit, again, and you have the Spirit of God, he will guide you into all truth. He will show you in the Word what is right. And that's what it means to be led by the Spirit. You know, and I got to be honest, it was hard to put the Bible down in jail. I wore out a couple of Bibles, and I have a hard time throwing away. They're still on my shelf, and I got, you know, several that are pretty worn out because this is the only meaning that I found that makes sense in life. It's the only purpose that we have in life. Without the scriptures and God, there is no hope. You know, the world tells us we're just growing up germs. Potty hotty, because tomorrow you die. And I don't know how people live like that. But there's got to be something more to, you know, than the here and now. I mean, why would God make a person and let them live 70, 80, 90 years, whatever, and then put them back in the ground? You know, there's got to be something more. And all the answers are right here. All we need to know are right here. In fact, Jesus said in John 6, verse 63, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. But the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, who again lives in us. Jesus said in verse 14, he will glorify me. This is a good thing that Jesus taught me. I remember we were doing a prison fellowship thing in Chicago one time, and this guy, a lot of volunteers from a lot of different walks of faith, and there was this one guy that was just kept talking to me about the Holy Spirit. You know, have you received the Holy Spirit yet? The Holy Spirit, have you received him? You know, and he just going on and on about the Holy Spirit. And all I could remember was what Jesus said. He will glorify me. That's what the Spirit of God does. He glorifies Jesus. He doesn't glorify himself. He does not lift himself up. He's kind of likes to play second fiddle, if I can say that. He kind of likes to be out of the front light. That's what the Spirit of God does. And he glorifies Jesus because there is no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. That every knee will bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen. That's what the Holy Spirit does. We're encouraged to be filled with the Spirit. And this is worth noting, Ephesians 5:18. He contrasts being drunk with wine and being filled with the Spirit. I know many of you, if not all, and you don't need to be, but I think we've all, if we're honest, most of us have been drunk at one time or another. Those who are of age, younger people, you're not missing nothing, believe me. But when you're under the influence of alcohol or other things, you say and do things you would not normally do, and you end up making an absolute idiot out of yourself. And you wake up and hear these things. Did you know what you said last night? Do you know what you did last night? It's horror. But in that same thing, Jesus saying, Paul here speaking says, and do not get drunk with wine or be under the influence of alcohol, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, be under the influence of the Spirit of God. How do you do that? Well, he tells you, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. We're again encouraged to be filled with the Spirit. I know this. When I'm filled with the Spirit, when I'm doing what God wants, everything goes nice and smooth. But when I do what I want to do, I get in trouble. Anybody like me? He gives the Spirit of God to all who believe. And we learn in the Scriptures that the Christian has three enemies: the world, the flesh, and the devil. They are all many. There are a lot of philosophies in the world. If it feels good, do it. He who dies with the most always wins, and all that stuff. And of course, the devil, the demons, there are many of them. The flesh, world, people, you know, can lead you into sin. But John, 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. The Spirit of God, God living in us. You know, that's what we have. That's all we need. And again, we need to feed the Spirit. He loves the Word of God. And when we read it, this is our daily bread. No Bible, no breakfast. And this is the food for the Spirit. And it reminds us. I mean, I know this thing pretty good, but I still got to be reminded every day. I got to open this. And I got to be reminded because there's a lot of things that want to lead us astray out there. You know, and it's a whole nother battle once you have the Spirit of God in you and the flesh wants to do one thing and the Spirit wants to do another thing. You know, you have this battle even within yourself, and, you know, we want the Spirit to win. They're kind of like oil and water. They don't mix. Like salad dressing, you can shake it up and pour it on the salad, but when you sit it down, they separate. They don't like each other. The Spirit of God and the flesh, they don't like each other. The flesh wants to do sin. The Spirit doesn't, and we're just a lot safer feeding the Spirit of God. I'm reminded of the Indian chief one time. He was being interviewed by a reporter, and she flew out to this native land and found him, and this whole tribe had come to Christ. And so they explained what happened. A missionary had come and set this whole place on fire with God, and they all became Christians. But the chief was a very, very mighty warrior and killed a lot of people, scalped a lot of people. And so during the interview, the woman said, you know, as she was arriving, rather, she was informed that this chief had killed somebody not long ago. So she was remembered that and wanted to bring it up in the interview. So during the course of the interview, you know, he tells her, oh, yeah, he was a bad boy. God came in, changed his whole life. But she said, but I understand just recently, a few weeks ago, you killed somebody. He said, ah, yes. She said, well, what's up with that? And he said, well, it's almost like I have these two bears inside of me, the good bear and the bad bear. And she said, so the good bear is God. He says, yes, yes. And she said, so the bad bear must have come out a few weeks ago. She said, yes, that's what happened. And so she said, well, how do you know which bear is going to come out? And he said, the one I feed. the one I feed will come out. You know, if you watch the boob tube and you fill your mind with all sex and violence and all the other garbage out there, that's what's going to come out. But if you fill your mind and heart with the Word of God, that's what's going to come out. And the Holy Spirit is the only one that can enable us to live for God and for others. And we need Him a lot more than we think. We believe in the Holy Spirit. Father in heaven, thank you for sending your Son who did die for our sins and rise again so that we could have life, Lord. Father, thank you for you. There is no one like you, Lord. No one. No one comes close. For you so loved the world, you gave your Son. No one I know down here would do that, but you did. Father, thank you for your word. It is food for our soul and for us, the spirit that you gave us, Lord. And Father, thank you for your Holy Spirit. I know he doesn't seek attention. I know he wants to glorify Jesus. But we love him. We thank you for him. Help us to be more sensitive to your Spirit this day and every day as you lead and guide us to minister to those around us. For the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And again, thank you for filling us with your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.